those of you who knew me from before, I was at the California Department of Food and Ag for many, many years, working on yellow star thistle and diffuse snapweed. Where's the talk?
Well, it's coming up in PowerPoint for some reason.
And then I moved to Wyoming about a year and a half ago. My wife wanted to make this big move, so we moved to Wyoming, and so it all makes sense with the title.
There we go.
All right. Okay. Anyway, so when Link asked me to do this, I was at the University of Wyoming, and while I was there, I had a little black ice and rolled the car a couple of times, and my wife raised the question, why are we here? So the lesson is learned, and I'm back in California again. So I took the title for the session for what it was supposed to be, questions raised. But in the context, so my original title was Establishing the Impact of these three of agents on those three different knapweeds, but I've kind of decided to change the talk, focusing on little lessons that are learned. And so there's really nothing terribly unique about a lot of those lessons. There's something that most weed biocontrol people know. This is just another example of how they really fit in a new system. For us in California, the knapweeds are a little different than they are in the rest of the country. Diffuse and spotted knapweed are obviously not a big problem. They're eradication weeds, with the exception of one location for each one where we are doing biocontrol. Squarose knapweed, we're one of the two states in the nation with really large amounts of squarose, Utah being the first. This is a really neat picture I like to show with yellow star, our greatest knapweed on the far right, and then bachelor button right next to it, followed by diffuse, then squarose and spotted knapweed, just to give you a perspective of the size of the different seed heads. In each case, I mean, I collected all five of those within about a 200-yard section near a lumber yard. Diffuse knapweed is primarily a roadside weed for California. Our biocontrol site is somewhat of a roadside up in deep in marijuana country up in Trinity County. Spotted knapweed is primarily also a roadside weed, with the exception of the location where we're doing biocontrol, which is a riparian zone. Been a little bit too hard for them to spray it out. And squarose knapweed is the larger in terms of the area that it occupies. Each of the infestation for squarose for us is a substantial infestation. Squarose is not common for a lot of the other states in the western U.S., but it does produce huge numbers of seed heads, which retain the seeds, drop on the ground, get carted all over, and you can get some really nice infestations. This is one of my research sites. So a typical thing for one of the lessons that we learned, some insects never build to substantial levels. Torrelia virens, you know, it's a real pretty fly, and we released it on spotted knapweed at a couple different locations along our plot, and it just never builds up. It's just there, it's kind of interesting, but it never builds up to any level to be of value. Some other things that we've learned over the course of time is what works in Montana and Canada doesn't necessarily work in California. Really kind of a no-brainer. The example I want to mention are the root insects on spotted. Agapita, we released way back in 1993 or whatever it was, 1994. It's really gone nowhere for us. We can find a few roots that are attacked, but they're just gradually fading out. It's really been a kind of a non-functional agent for us. Cyphocleonis, likewise, has not been a major player on our spotted knapweed. Even though these numbers may look high, you know, that we may have 50% of those of the three sites that I have there, some years it would get up to 50% of the roots that were attacked. Most of those attacks are 3, 4, 5 year old. You know, these are not current attacks. In terms of current attacks, these numbers are really going way down. So the root agents for us have generally not been of any value. Insects find their hosts. What I find really impressive is how some of the insects have flown so far without anything in between. Urophora quadrifasciata has never introduced intentionally into California. It has flown there from presumably Oregon over some, you know, nearly 100 miles distance to reach these isolated populations of knapweed, to reach our squirrels populations, to reach our spotted populations. So it was already there by the time we started looking for it. Another one I find very interesting is Eustenopus villosus, the hairy weevil. This is a yellow star agent. And it's interesting what has happened with that. It has moved, hopping along on yellow star until it reached a place where we have yellow star next to spotted. And so now it has become a fairly good agent on spotted knapweed. So I can find it, you know, feeding on spotted knapweed buds, ovipositing. It chews on the seeds, produces the typical callus that we get on yellow star, but it does it on spotted knapweed, and it actually will go through its full life cycle, and we've had some adults emerge on spotted knapweed. So if, you know, they will find a reasonable host given time. Another generalization is that some agents significantly affect other agents. The examples I want to bring in are the ones for us from diffuse knapweed. For us, diffuse knapweed, we released, or the people preceding me released Urophora, the gall fly, way back in 1976. They released it, they walked away, never really dealt with it. And then we started working on the back at that site in 1994 when we released the two seed head weevils. So the galls, of course, it should be a nice hard gall, but right now, if you go into our diffuse knapweed locations, almost every one of the galls will be chewed up, kind of ripped to bits, either by Bangosternis or Larinus. Urophora was released in 1976, and nearly 20 years later, when we came there to put the seed head weevils, Urophora had never built up to any significant levels. It had never gotten over 20% of the seed heads. It was just there. And then once we released the seed head weevils, Urophora is just really being pushed out. So it was not a great agent anyway, and the weevils have pretty much chewed it up. But those two weevils are having their own little interaction. We put Bangosternis there first, then the next year we added Larinus, and Bangosternis got a little bit of a head start. It's our blue graph, or blue bars, but Larinus, over the course of time, seems to, on diffuse knapweed, be taking over from Bangosternis. It's kind of interesting when I don't have a graph to show you this, but on squirrels knapweed, it's the opposite. Bangosternis is sort of taking over for Larinus. So those two weevils occupy the same niche, but they do compete. Host range studies do not necessarily predict impact. It's kind of everyone knows that, but the squirrels knapweed was never listed as a primary host of any of the knapweed agents that were released in the United States. They either said spotted knapweed, spotted and diffuse, or they said knapweeds. But squirrels was never chosen as a real target for that. In some of the agents, squirrels would have been tested. More likely than in most cases, they would just look at the literature and see that, oh, these things have been seen feeding around squirrels. Nonetheless, we tried to put most of these agents on squirrels, and they actually, you would assume from the literature that they were not a big player on squirrels, but I think at least three of these agents are more important on squirrels knapweed, or more effective on squirrels than they ever were on the other knapweeds. As an example, this is just from 5 different years, seed production in the absence of any agents are the green bars. If Urophora quadrifasciata is there only in those seed heads, you can see the drastic reduction in seeds per seed head. The two weevils, if either of them is there by themselves, there's essentially no seed production. Population density matters. The squirrels knapweed situation really shows us that. If Urophora is there all by itself, it'll take out 70 to 80% of the seed in the seed heads that it attacks. It's really significant in the seed heads that it attacks. Our problem is that of the 10 sites where we've done a lot of our, most of our work, we never get more than about 6.5% attack. So only 6.5% of those seed heads are attacked by an insect that does real well. So you're never going to get anywhere with that particular insect. On the other hand, the two seed head weevils, Larinus minutus, Bangasternus fausti, they actually have a greater impact on seed production in the seed heads that they're there. They take it down to about a tenth or about a thousandth of the seed production from a clean head. But what's more important is that they build to huge populations in a very, very short time. This is just a summary of, six of the sites that I followed from the time that we first released those seed head weevils. We would look, in a matter of 2 to 3 years, we would end up with 90% of the seed heads that are attacked by one or the other of those weevils. That's in 2 to 3 years. And they're just exploding. And obviously, if they're taking out 99.9% of the seed from the heads that they attack, we're having huge impacts on seed production with sclerose knapweed. It's orders of magnitude greater than anything we saw with spotted or diffuse. When I look at the three knapweeds that I've been working with and compare it with yellowstar thistle, and I look at this because some of the weevils are pretty similar, there are some issues that about size and size that matters. This is some sclerose knapweed seed heads that are attacked by, in this case, that's probably, probably Larinus. Basically, Larinus and Bangasternus clean those seed heads out. There's nothing left. There's absolutely nothing left in there. And you can picture how that is when you look at, say, a Bangasternus on the left-hand side here. There's our sclerose knapweed seed head. And Larinus on the right-hand side, they basically are their shoulders are the full wall-to-wall inside that head. So they really end up chewing up everything. You compare that, the seed head size, to a sclerose on the left, diffuse in the middle, and spotted on the right. And you can see that those weevils are going to have a little, you can assume that the weevils would have a little different effect. Those are the dried seed heads from the one you saw before. Our very large yellowstar thistle, that's kind of traditional size, next to a spotted knapweed, which is a pretty substantial. And then the next to the left one is our sclerose, a very small little head, and diffuse on the far left. So we did some calculations from some of our best results. And if we take, for instance, Eustonopus, which is the best weevil we have on yellowstar thistle, which is from the bottom line on here, yellowstar thistle with a mean diameter, a fairly large head, mean diameter of over 6 millimeters in diameter, the very best we get is about 69% of the seed that are destroyed when Eustonopus is there in those heads. So big head, the best weevil takes out 69% of the seed. We go to our next largest of the knapweed seed heads, which is spotted from the top one. This one is just short of 5 millimeters in diameter. When Larinus is there, under our situation, Larinus takes out about 75% of the seed for those seed heads that it's present in. On the other hand, diffuse knapweed, a smaller seed head, substantially smaller, Larinus is taking out just short of 94% of the seed. And finally, with sclerose, the smallest of the seed heads, less than 3 millimeters in diameter on an average. Whenever Larinus is there, it's taking out 99.8% of the seed. And since it builds up to these huge populations anyway, we essentially have no seed production in our sclerose knapweed sites. And all three of these knapweeds, we're having some nice results over the course of time, like I've already been mentioned, about population levels. This is our diffuse knapweed site where the blue line is the total percentage of seed heads that are attacked by one agent or another. And over the course of those years, you can see that when we, somewhere around 19, 1998-1999, we started seeing some declines in the population of diffuse knapweed. That was about 5 years after we started releasing the seed head weevils. Spotted, it took much longer, probably 7 years before we start to see some declines in the spotted density. In that case, spotted, we do not have Bangasternus, by the way. It's just Larinus is the only seed head agent. For the squarose knapweed one, these happen much, much faster. 2 to 3 years, we start to see some impacts on populations. It's really a function in that case of how long it takes for the mature plants to age out, because they don't really kill anything. And for us in California, Larinus is generally not doing a lot of adult feeding. Squirrels is the only one that I see any adult feeding on. It has not been doing a lot of adult feeding on spotted or diffuse, but I really see it on squirrels knapweed. And a couple of sites, multiple plots in each site, squirrels knapweed, the density of the bolting plants and everything just goes down real, real fast. Another kind of generalization from the three knapweeds is I'm not very fond of the gall flies. They're neat insects, but they don't do a lot. Mike and I are writing a paper, it should be about to submit it, on the impacts that Europhora serenaceta has on yellow star thistle, and it's going to come down to us saying that those galls will take out maybe 2 seeds, a single gall will. So in yellow star thistle, with anywhere between 30 to 50 seeds per seed head, these gall flies in yellow star are not getting us anywhere, and they're not doing much for us in any of the knapweeds either. In our spotted, I very consistently will find large numbers of galls. I'll find a head with 9 galls. That's not really rare, but we're still not impacted. When you calculated it out, either of the two Europhoras or combined, they're not doing much good. This is what's happened with both the Europhoras and my spotted. They've just, over the course of years, they just hang there. They're impacted a little bit by the seed head weevils, but they're not doing much. They're not going to impact a lot of seed production for us. So now I want to kind of finish this up with a little look at some of our spotted plot, because we have the longest running information about spotted knapweed. In our case, we feel that the root weevil, which we have there, Siphocleonis, isn't doing much good, Agapetae isn't doing much good. So the impact is really principally from Larinus, and this is just to show you how long it's taking and the kind of measures that we have seen, we've been watching over that kind of a time frame. Most of those agents were released for us on our spotted around 1994, 1993. So plant height in our plot, really we don't have a huge trend over all these years. The plants are remaining about the same height, which is, I guess, consistent because our Siphocleonis is really not building to high levels. Stems per bolted plant, we're not having a real impact, a real change over the course of those time. Seed heads per plant, that's not really happening. Seed head density is going down, and that's going down principally because we're not getting in as many rosettes replacing, because we are, over a very long period of time, reducing our total seed input to the system, and therefore our rosette density is going down. And this is what we're really counting on in the long term, is the bolting plant density is going down over a very long period of time. And of course, spotted being a real long-term perennial, it's a longer time frame. Should mention, for us in California, our spotted is presumably a little different than some of the rest of the spotted from some of Ruth's work in Colorado. And so that's where I want to leave it. Spotted's a very long-term one. Squirrels is really a great project because it's happening really, really fast. Okay?